The Lord is doing some great things, but I'll tell you, there's this other character in the story that is relentless, and he don't quit coming against the people of God. Who would that be? Satan. Satan, the devil. What else is he? Antichrist. That's good. That's good. Deceiver. You know, here's the thing. The Lord has been faithful to all of us to show us a lot of things, all right? So I want to ask you some questions here that put us all, we all need to be on the hot seat a little bit is what we need, actually. Because when the Lord starts working among his people, what's the first thing? He warned Israel about this when they entered into the promised land. What happens to a person that gets into the place that they've been seeking and they get comfortable? What happens? You get slothful, lazy. Yeah? What else? You stop discerning things. You stop noticing the lies that come in. Because when you arrive at your destination, where is the drive to get there? It leaves you, doesn't it? Let me, even in this world, when you set your map to a destination, you drive there and then you get out of your car and you stop driving and you plop down wherever you're going to sit and you're there. Well, in the things of God, let me just tell you, you do not need to ever think that you've arrived. Ever, 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 until what? Until God says so. Is that pretty clear? Like, this church has been in pursuit of the Lord through faith. God is leading us. But the minute we think that we possess something that we don't have, who slips in? Oh, there's a Satan always ready to jump on top of anything God has given us and to steal it away and to take it. But who's going to be diligent? How many watchmen on the wall do we have? That's what I want to know. How many seers are among us? How many prophets can come in and say, thus says the Lord, yeah, today that sin is going to go, and the righteousness of God is what we're going to follow. How many prophets do we have among us that are going to say those words? Huh? And when I say among us, yeah, I mean here among us here, but among us within yourself. How many prophets rise up and declare the word of the Lord? How many saints of God stand their ground and say, I'm a witness of God? How many? And then we got to ask these questions to be provoked. We've got a lot of promises here. Before I left, it's been rehearsed while I was gone, but before I left, we talked about that, the things we do, the things we bring back to the Lord. Remember when we read in Malachi about returning to the Lord? How do we return to the Lord? By bringing tithes and offerings, or by giving, sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. In other words, you know how we return to the Lord? We fellowship with him and we bring unto him everything he gives us, and then he just keeps giving and receiving. That is awesome. The minute we stop doing that, well, laziness creeps in, the devil creeps in, slothfulness creeps in. Here's what I'm learning about people. Well, I've learned it and I'm learning it. How about that? Is that if we take our eyes off the Lord for 1 second, flesh is weak. Did everybody learn that yet? Or are we just so naive that we just don't learn it and yet still keep experiencing it? Like, okay, I'm being a pastor today. That's what I'm doing. Because we got to do some things. The Lord is very, very committed to working with his people. The problem is, you take a guy like the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men of God that we have as an example. Is that true? He said in his own writings that I, after preaching and teaching and building churches and laying foundations for God, paraphrasing, he said, God forbid that I, after doing all of this, would become a castaway because I have neglected the gospel. Imagine a man of God like that saying, I could lose everything after receiving everything and giving everything. I could lose everything. And sometimes our mind, James, is that, oh no, all I need is that Holy Ghost. You had a little twitch in the leg? All I need is the Holy Ghost. Once I get the Holy Ghost, Tim, I'm good. I'm set. No more devils, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. I am good to go. I'm with God in heaven. I got the Holy Ghost. Wrong. That's where your troubles begin. Everybody, did you hear what I just said? I hope I didn't just bust your whole philosophy on the Holy Ghost. That's where the saints of God rise up, and that's where the devil takes notice. Because you leave from being his servant to God's servant, and now what do you think's coming after the saints of God when those that are full of the Holy Ghost, Brad? All of hell, darkness, warfare, right? So I want to know something. All this teaching we've been doing for all these years, is it entering in the heart? Is God actually writing it? Or is it going in one ear and out the other? Which one? Now answer the truth to me. Because here's the thing. Here's what happens to us as a church people. Familiarity. It gets in the bones, man. And you get accustomed to things and you hear things and you repeat things and you say things and you got it down to the letter. And all of a sudden, when it goes to put it into action, you can't work it. God forbid that happened to us. God forbid that happened to us. The teachings of God are meant to grow us on a continual, steady walk with God to ascend to heaven just as he has always planned. But if we take for granted the words of God, then what happens to his church? Well, we fall back into a sleep, don't we? Now, you may not have expected this type of teaching after a trip from Yuma. But the Lord is always after the people of God to remind us. The devil wants your soul. The devil wants your life. The devil doesn't want you in eternal life, Ann. He doesn't. And you know what? Your flesh doesn't help you out any. Your flesh is like on the devil's side, man. They used to say I can't remember exactly, so I'm going to have to paraphrase this. You guys may know, but when I was a kid, they always said, what is the first verse in the devil's Bible or something? Satanic Bible, you know. People out there, they got all this satanic Bible stuff going on. Basically, it's whatever you want, whatever you want to do, whatever you say is good, whatever you want is yours, anything goes. It's basically all about me, right? God comes and says, let me show you a greater illumination of what heaven's like versus what earth is like. And that's where the gospel really shines. It shines in saying, I'm going to take you from all the things that you think you want, which is full of death and corruption and all of that, to a place where eternal life exists. I'm going to show you what you really wanted in the beginning. And I'm going to remind you of that, right? This is what we've been teaching. And so the Bible does say, you're very familiar with this. Katie, put up Isaiah 55:8. Tim, read that for me when it comes up on the screen. You already know this verse by heart, okay? This is a problem with people.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Okay, hold on. Tim, read the verse before that now.
Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
How many would say you're wicked? How many in here are wicked? See, not one hand, right? Not one hand. Why? Have you done this? Have you? Yes or no? If you've forsaken, look, what's it say? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous his thoughts, right? Have you done that? If you're saying I'm not wicked, you have done that. Is that correct? Are we just putting it to the test, right? If you have forsaken your way and the unrighteous in you has now forsaken his thoughts and you've returned unto the Lord, you're no longer wicked, right? So how many believe you're a child of God? That's good. This was not trick questions, right? That's good. You're a child of God. But here's the thing. God wants to know something. He wants to know how many of you are going to be serious about being a child of God. How many? All of us? We got three hands in the back. Four, five? Okay, good. Now they're popping up. I'm going to be serious about being a child of God. That means I have returned to the Lord. I have forsaken wickedness. How many knows wickedness works within every person? Even the child of God here in this life, as a child of God, we still have to deal with that wickedness that pops its head up, don't we? So how do you deal with it? You forsake it. That was easy. You forsake it. God didn't ever say he wouldn't talk to you. He just said, don't listen to him. And forsake it, Marty, right? Forsake and return. Because that's where he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. He's talking to the wicked and the unrighteous. The minute you return to the Lord, what are you now saying? You're saying, I'm righteous, and therefore your thoughts are my thoughts and your ways are my ways. Is that what we're confessing? There you go. You no longer does Isaiah 55:8 that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. That no longer applies to the child of God.
Daniel,
yes.
Can I clarify something you just said? You said he didn't say that he wouldn't talk to you. God didn't say that the wicked wouldn't talk to you.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
The devil will always be there as long as you're in the flesh. Everybody got that clear? Are we surprised that he still talks? In the meantime, you're a child of God. Why be surprised? You think the devil likes you? How many of you think he's scared of you? Now we're asking a question. How many of you think you have power over him? See? Working through it right now. Some say yes. Some are like, yeah, I don't really wake up thinking about that idea. You should. You should. Yeah, but I try to have power and it just keeps staying there. It's like I'm trapped in a room with a person that won't shut up and I can't unlock the room and get out. And they just won't stop talking. That would be a horrible event, by the way. But that's our mind sometimes. That's what happens. Somewhere in there, in that journey, you begin to realize, because this is what happens, you begin to realize, I am not who that person says I am. I am who the Lord says I am. And in that journey, that's where you begin to realize, I am a child of God. I am a child of God, and I don't have to put up with this. Now think about it. Was Jesus the perfect example of God manifested in the flesh?
Yes.
He was, wasn't he? How did he deal with the devil?
By the truth,
that's good. Did he say, you know what? You might have a point there. He didn't say that. He didn't look at the Pharisees and the devil and say, you know what? You might have a point. Let me think about this. Never said that, did he? He knew the truth, stood in the truth, walked in the truth, and told the devil the truth. Now, are we children of God or what? Are we going to be lazy with what God gave us? You know what I'm learning about a lot of saints of God? The desire to seek the Word needs to increase. The desire to seek the Word of God and build a foundation and a house of God in us needs to increase. I'm going to pray that God increase that. But here's the thing. Your willingness to give yourself must increase also. You say, well, I can only wait on God to do that. Yeah, you keep telling yourself that all the time. Keep on. Well, I'm waiting on God. Keep waiting. Because somewhere in there, God's already told us what to do. Did he not? So question, when you're given a commandment to do something, and then the Lord commands you, and then he goes away, you can't see him, and you're sitting there, well, I'm just waiting on God to help me do this. What is that? Ah. So he spoke a parable about that in the Bible. How about that? God, if God's word, we've preached this 100 times, if God's word talks to us, is that everything you need? Is that, James, if God comes and commands you something and says, be this, do this, act on this, think this, is that a writing of his name on your forehead? So when do we get convinced to do opposite of what God tells us? When we get lazy. One day we wake up and our feelings don't feel like it anymore. And so we just say, well, I don't feel like a child of God, so maybe I don't feel like acting like one. Maybe I feel like acting like something different today, and we do that. What if we learn how to walk by the truth in faith and not by the feelings we have? God would be faithful to us, wouldn't he? Turn over to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me read something to you. You guys are familiar with this too. Let me show you a promise of God. This is after the temple of God was built by Solomon. And he says something here. Tim, read that.
If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Did you guys hear that? My people, everybody already said that you are God's people. Is that true? So what after the temple is built, this is, now remember in context, this is when Solomon was commanded and given the abilities to build the house of God. And he did. And the Lord says some things about what you need to do in this temple. And he starts by this right here. My people which are called by my name, they humble themselves. They pray. They seek my face. They turn from their wicked ways. And then what does God do? What's he say? I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. Is that awesome? I'll heal their land. See, this is in a time where enemies were everywhere and the house of God was built. Is that not what God has done in our church? Has he built the house? And what are we going to do with it once the house is built? Are we going to be arrogant? Are we going to think we've arrived? Or are we going to humble ourselves and fast and pray and seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, and let him hear from heaven? Oh, I vote that. How many's in that? Yeah. Read the next verse, Tim.
Now my eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place.
That's God talking, man. Do you hear this? God said he'll listen to our prayers in this house if we will humble ourselves, if we'll turn from our wickedness, if we'll fast and seek him. We'll get into fasting. Don't worry about that. This is such a great spiritual work, and the Lord, Corey, said he would hear it. He'd hear your prayer, man. Just some humility is all you need. Some turning from wickedness. That's what we've been doing, hasn't it? And he'd hear from heaven. And I mean, I'm amazed by this. My eyes shall be open to you, Don, if you pray, if you humble yourself, if you seek my face. James, I'll open my eyes. I'll see you. Question.
So we've been taught that the foundation has been laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The house is being built. But are you saying that after that house is built, we're still dealing with this?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. So this is the thing we're after. Don't be deceived to think, well, I'm a new man. I'm a child of God. I'm good to go. I'm here. My house is built. No enemies. No wickedness. No, he said, all you got to do is when you humble yourself and pray, I'll forgive your sins, but listen, I need to heal your land. That's a good one, high end. I need to heal your land. Yeah.
Dan, I was thinking, even by the example of the parable of this, that temple got torn down because Israel ceased to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's that whole example that, right, once it was built, we can't be slothful.
There you go.
About serving the Lord.
Now, Megan is talking about even after this temple was built, because of their slothfulness, God had to turn them over to enemies. And Babylon came in and destroyed Jerusalem and burnt the city and destroyed the temple. Why? Because somebody didn't do this. Somebody didn't humble themselves. Somebody didn't pray. And yeah, my point here this morning has been to say, especially if I use a guy like the Apostle Paul, if we are handling the Word of God and we mishandle it and despise it and are not humble and faithful, what do you think will happen to us? How many thinks that it's an absolute guarantee that this church and the physical world will continue on long after we're gone? I got one hand. I got some noddings. What do you think? It should. By the word of the Lord, it will. It will. So what are we doing to make that true? We're joining with the Lord. But what if we're slothful with it? What if all of us decided we're just going to stop given, we're going to stop being faithful to the church, we're going to stop coming. What if all that happened? What would happen to this church? See, by the word of the Lord, the will of God is that this church continue. But if we don't have faithful people, what do we do to God? Do we look at God's will and just kind of smack him across the face and say, sorry, we don't like your will. We like our flesh better. Huh? Because I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I would never slap God across the face. Well, the Pharisees said that too until they arrested Jesus. And then he answered according to the will of God, and they slapped him right across the face. Oh, yeah, you'll slap the very God of heaven in the face and think you're righteous doing it. That's a massive deception. See, we're going to be on guard. The Lord said, I will open my eyes to your humility. I will open my eyes to your faithfulness and turning, your return to the Lord. I will open my eyes. I will see you. And I'm going to tell you, I know the world is all about being seen, right? Like, how many times have you ever heard, I just want to be seen. I just want to be seen by others. Well, how about shutting that up and say, I want to be seen by God? How about that? When does that enter into the child of God? Where we stop saying, I want to be seen by everybody else and I want to be seen by God. That is what is destined for this church. I love it, man. We become invisible and the Lord becomes glorious. Well, that sounds like a good trade. And then my ears attend unto the prayers that are made in this house of God. So my eyes are open, my ears are listening. Well, that's the best thing you could ever hear from God, Brad. I see you and I hear you. Because how many times through the years have you ever thought, God don't see me at all? Matter of fact, he don't hear nothing I say. He don't even care about me. The devil would love you to believe that. But if we really got down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, you think maybe the problem is not in God's seeing and not in God's hearing? That maybe it's in our humility and our forsaking the wickedness and returning to the Lord? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe the humility and the seeking the Lord is the key. And so what are we going to be doing here? Continually seeking the Lord. Oh yeah, I'm calling you to prayer, man. I'm calling you to fasting. I'm calling you to humility. Because we are lost and on our own if we don't have the Lord in this world. And look, some of you already know, you've told me, I've been through it myself, where you get to places in your life where God is wanting to purge out all the wickedness, and it's not fun. It's not easy. You're resistant. You're confused. You're struggling, frustrated, angry at times, questioning God. But here's the thing. The Lord made this story to win. He made it so that we could come to the end of our flesh and rise up in the Spirit and be the saints of God that he called us to be. You know what's cool about saints? Because we could say, well, we got the ministry here. In our churches, we've got the elders and the elders' wives, and we've got the deacons, and then we've got the saints, right? Name one of those that are not called out in heavenly places. Those are not earthly things. Those are heavenly things, man. When you get to heaven, what do you think you're going to see? You're going to see what I just named. They fill the city, bro. They do. The city of God. Did you hear that? Gary said they fill the city of God. So our desire is to be in that likeness, Tim. That likeness, right? When we awake, in his likeness. Look, there's a lot of things the Lord wants to do for us continually. We're not going to get there arrogant. We're not going to get there when we're full of pride and think we have the knowledge of the scripture. It don't work. It doesn't work. It's built upon humility and faith. And that's the whole cool part about God, is he said, no, this is all inward. It's This whole outward thing, I mean, he works it outwardly, but it's built on what's inside. Let's see if there's another. That verse right there is so awesome. Is there another verse after that? Look, I'm going off the cuff here.
For now have I chosen and sanctified this house.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, does anybody go back? I do. To when I first started pastoring and the word of the Lord that came to this church for me was to sanctify the Lord. Oh, man. Tim, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
I knew when to stop.
Go ahead. Start. Read it again.
For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually.
I just want to sit down and let God do the talking, man. Like, get this flesh out of the way. But could everybody hear this and read this and be caught up to heaven? You know? Like, this is the will of God. We talked about those promises. Is this the promise? Is this the promise for the new covenant house of God, Keith? That's what it is, isn't it? He's telling us what happens when you become born of God. That's what he's showing us. This is, you say, no, that's Old Testament. No, I'm sorry. This is New Testament stuff right here. He is telling us today what he will do in our house. You say, this house? Yes. This house? Yes. And for those on audio that didn't see me, the first house was us as a temple. The second house was this church. Because when you got a whole bunch of houses in one building that is serving God, that whole building becomes the house of God at that point, doesn't it? Wow, that's some good reading. I mean, God, he knows how to talk, man. Okay, let's go for one more. Let's see what's after that one. I mean, that's a pretty good one to end on.
Okay, and as for thee, if you will walk before me, and David the father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and you observe my statutes and my judgments.
Hmm. Go ahead.
Then will I establish the throne of the kingdom according as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to rule in Israel.
Who's David? Who's David here? Who is David here? Who is David?
Incredible.
Who?
Christ.
Who sits on David's throne?
Christ.
Jesus. Who? I just told you guys a few minutes ago, this is New Testament preaching here. We're not in the old. We're in the new now. When he's talking about David, he's talking about Jesus. You see that, Tim? And so therefore, then will I establish the throne of your kingdom according as I have covenanted with Jesus. That's right. Your father, saying there shall not fail one a man to be ruler in Israel. Well, that's what, when Jesus came, what do you think was prophesied? When they brought him to be circumcised, what were they testifying? Whew, here he is, the king of Israel, the ruler of Israel, the savior of Israel. We're talking about Jesus here. Who is God set up as king in this house? Is it Jesus? See, when you understand the spirit realm, you'll interact David as Jesus. It's simple. He was the type of Christ in the Old Testament. Therefore, if you're in the new covenant, this is how we're going to think. So what is God calling us to today? What's he calling us to? Humility? And?
Seek his face.
Seek his face?
Pray.
Pray? Everybody know these verses? Okay, I'm going to charge you this week. What do you get to learn? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Back it up, Katie. Back it up. And let's see it. Is everybody going to learn this? Hey, don't be scared of knowledge. I'm giving you a word by God to learn this right here. If my people, raise your hand again if you're my people. That's right. So that's you and me, right? Because we included. We're going to humble ourselves before the Lord in this place. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to open his eyes to it. Say, well, I thought God already had his eyes open. Uh-huh. But there's enemies all around us. And you know what? I've noticed a few enemies get in our church. Oh, I watch them. We don't always just chase enemies out. Sometimes we have to use them for God's purpose. So sometimes we let them sit for a little bit until we learn something. And God is good at that. Well, if you don't believe that, ask Job. He'll help you out. But see, when the time comes and the Lord says, time to remove him, let's go, he's out. And that's the way God works. But in this place, the Lord said he'll protect our house, he'll protect our covenant, he'll protect what he started here if we will pray and be humble and seek the Lord. Do not neglect what God has given us. He's called us to this, man. Isn't that awesome? And so I hope I've stirred your heart up in that today to say, oh yeah, God started this thing. He put it in us. I'm not going to neglect it. And let me end with by saying this. Look, I've said this 1,000 times, I guarantee it. Life around us is very tempting to the people who still have desire for it. Okay? The world, very tempting to people who still have desire for it. But those that have their treasure in heaven. Where's your heart going to be? In heaven. Put your treasure in heaven. And you will humble yourself. You will pray. You will seek his face. You will turn from your wicked ways. You will. Okay? So don't be surprised if wickedness still works in you, even though you call yourself a child of God. Because Peter was a child of God and got called out as Satan. But he was a child of God, was he not? Christians don't have devils. They need to overcome Satan in his finality, not in his beginning. Both. So we're going to trust the Lord here today, right? We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to seek and pray. And we're going to trust God on all of this. And I'm be very fervent about this because the Lord is after. The Lord wants to us to remember. Don't be slothful with what you've been given. Okay? The words that we have are eternal life. Man, I believe that with all my heart. But we will not neglect them. Okay? So, give yourself to it. Seek it. Let's trust the Lord. If you've been a little lax in your approach toward God, just remember. Okay, by this word that I am still returning to the Lord, I need to be more fervent in returning, and we'll trust God to do the work and help us out. Does that sound good? Anybody else got anything you want to say? Dawn.
So you started out talking about that we should be, that this doesn't end, that it continues, that we don't reach a point until God says that.
Yes.
And in everything that you were saying, and what James was saying about foundation in that house, everything that you're saying we do, we turn from the wicked ways, we stay in the Lord, that's how we keep that house filled.
Yes.
So that we don't go back to that, and that we turn from all of that. But that's how you keep that house filled, is doing the things that you said today, and that's why it never ends, because you constantly have to make sure you're keeping that house full with the things of God.
True. And, you know, when you say that, we are constantly working, we are constantly doing, all in the name of the Lord, right? All through the work of God. God help us. But absolutely. Because Imagine if you let your house get filled with all kinds of stuff, your physical house, and you stacked stuff all in the kitchen. When it was time to go eat, you couldn't make anything. If it was, you stacked it in the shower, you couldn't take a bath or a shower, could you? You filled your house with all this stuff, right? What would you end up having to do? You'd have to leave and go somewhere else to eat, and then you'd have to leave and go somewhere else to take a bath. What, are you hearing my point? You're leaving your own house that God gave you, talking spiritually now. But if you keep the house of the Lord filled with a place for prayer, with a place for worship, with a place for washing, you get my drift here? If you keep your house clean and obey the word of the Lord and keep it filled with the things that only God puts there, you will have room to worship God and serve God faithfully, and that house will never be destroyed. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Is that clear enough? Answer your question? Yeah. So the things you do in this life matter to your house. Because your house is where? It's how you think. It's in your heart. So if there's all this lust and desire to do other things, and you're filling your house with doubt and guilts and condemnations and gossips and all of that, you can't take a bath in there, James. You got too much mud. You can't get clean, right? Too much dirt. Yeah. So let's pay attention. The parable's right there in front of us. Good question. Any other questions? We're going to serve the Lord. Let's stand up. How many could say, I believe that the Lord cares about me? That's right. He does. He does. And so we've got a lot of promises. We've got a lot to tend to. But God's called us to be faithful with it. And we will. I love it, man. I love it. Let me pray for you. Take your neighbor's hand if you want. Lord, once again, here we are. You said to pray, we're going to believe your word. You said to humble yourself, we're going to humble ourselves before you. And we're going to learn this submission that you have brought us to. And we're going to learn the humility you have brought us to. And we're going to learn to turn our eyes and return to you and give unto you and receive from you. We thank you for all of it, Lord. You have been so good with your word to us. Now, Lord, teach us how to walk in the paths of righteousness and instruct us in your way that we may know you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we may abide in you as you abide in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. Good to be home. See you online tomorrow night.